Going to start. I'm Charles Z. They didn't put my name on the handout. I guess if, you know, I don't know how important that is to you. I'm from Pueblo, Colorado.
Hi, Charles.
Hi. And I'm going to follow the handout, but I'm going to start because the front page is about resentment, where it comes from, what it is, and the like. And it can be approached a lot of different ways, and I've done it different ways. So I'm going to follow the handout, but I'm going to start off with a few questions first to get into the subject. How many of you are codependent? Okay. Did your codependency originate in early childhood? All right. Did your codependency involve a caregiver? Okay, maybe not in every case, but many or most cases. Now, here's an interesting question. Did you at any point in time feel resentment toward that caregiver as a result of your codependency? Raise your hand. Okay. I've got a lot of hands on this, but I have to tell you, not everybody is in this category. Or some people perhaps work through it before they reach the age of, you know, lasting memories. I don't know. But here's an interesting question. Did you forgive your caregiver? Raise your hand if yes. Okay, I've got a lot of yeses. And that's good. How'd you do that, Evie?
I worked my CODA recovery program.
Step 9?
It started with the earlier step.
Okay.
Step 4 was very important.
And you forgave your caregiver at step 4?
I didn't forgive my caregiver right away.
Okay.
But what I did was, step 4 was really important in me getting to a place where I could forgive my caregiver.
Okay, good. Any comments on, but for those that have forgiven their caregiver on how, you know, how'd that come about? Or were you working steps or what? Or you just did it? Yes?
I was working the steps, and it was somebody who I had probably the strongest, I don't like that hate, but I hated this person. And they had passed away a while ago, and it was from working the steps, and I just let it go. Immediately felt lighter, felt better about it.
Oh, very good point. Was it step 9 by chance?
Yes, it probably was a big component of it, but it had started earlier.
All right, good. Okay.
I'm not hearing it.
He said, through the process of working through the steps, he at some point forgave his caregiver, let it go. And then step 9 was a yes on that. This caregiver had died, but you know, we're gonna do an exercise in forgiveness on the last page of this. We're gonna do a guided meditation, okay, and we're gonna look the whole thing over so that you feel safe with it. It's not gonna be hypnosis. And I'm very big on guided meditation not being hypnosis. I had a lot of experience with meditation, and you know, I don't go there. I learned to do it the right way. So you can forgive dead people, and we can do it today. You can do it today. We'll go through an exercise where you can do that. You can forgive somebody today. Now we're going to talk about some ins and outs about resentment. Let's see. Was the resentment gone? I'll ask you this. Well, Bill, was the resentment gone after you did the work on your caregiver?
Yes. One of the things I meant to say earlier is that I came to realize that in this person's case, they were only doing what they knew. I learned that they weren't trying to harm me. They were just operating in a mode that they had learned a long time ago. It was much easier to let go.
Okay. So he let go. And no longer resented that person. That is forgiveness. Okay, we're going to do an exercise in that today. Now, I'm going to tell you, I do that with my mother. You experienced some abuse. Did your codependency come about as a result of some type of abuse, psychological, physical, or otherwise, sexual? Okay, it does, doesn't it? And in my case, psychological, I was wrong. I was everything wrong for my mother. I had asthma. She'd never experienced that before. And she had to deal with it, and she hated it. And, I mean, I had to go back to the hospital as an infant with breathing difficulties, which I still have today. So it started there, and then it was one thing after every. I was everything wrong to my mother. Now, I told this to people, and a lot of people feel, that wasn't so bad. My old man beat the hell out of me. And I'm going to agree, that is hell. And some of you have been through some types of psychological hell that I have not experienced. I'm here to tell you that my codependency was bad for me. It almost led to my demise. And so, that's bad, isn't it? I need to talk about that a bit. But let me first ask, what is resentment?
Anger revisited.
Good. Anger revisited. Eugene, I like that. Jack.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's like long-term anger. It's sort of like a wound that festers and it's kind of there under the surface.
Okay.
Anger like
long-term. Every day.
Yeah.
You think about this person and what do you think?
Anger.
Hatred. How about the word hate? Would you associate the word hate with it? I had another comment over here. Okay. Yes.
Fear.
You know, I believe fear underlies everything. And the anger comes about when the...
Can we move that over to here? You're not going to sit.
No. Over, I'll go over to the side.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of standing. Are you guys okay with me standing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would agree with that.
Yes. You can love and hate at the same time. Okay, and you can still be in the mode of tomorrow you wake up, you think of that person, and the hate comes in. What does that do when that happens? It robs your serenity.
It takes energy,
and it robs you of your energy, doesn't it? Very good.
The energy that it uses is almost, it feels like I'm self-destructing. It's like I'm fighting parts of my body or fighting other parts of my body, and it's very uncomfortable.
It's a self-destructive thing. It is harmful to you to harbor that resentment. Now, does it hurt them?
No.
Oh. I've heard that resentment is like a poison pill that you take on behalf of someone else.
Okay, good. A poison pill that you take on behalf of someone else. Now, the cases we've been talking about, it's come about as a result of abuse. Does it always come about from abuse?
No.
No. How else can it come about?
Neglect.
Jealousy. I'm sorry?
Abandonment.
Miscommunication. You know, I'm going to categorize abandonment as a form of abuse if it's a caregiver, because they should have taken care of you and they didn't. But how about abandonment from a spouse? We haven't talked about significant others and other people where we have experienced abuse and we have this resentment. There was a comment in the back. Yes.
Illness.
Okay. I want to expand on that in another direction. When I was 6 years old, my mother took me downtown to the doctor, to the allergy doctor. It was asthma again, and that, you know, I was her pain in the ass. We took the bus. We walked down the street and got on the bus. I was six. As we were about to step on the bus driver yelled, blanks, N-word, to the back of the bus. Okay, and I'm six, and I'm going, uh-oh, what is this about? I had no clue what that meant. So I watched, you know, I'm like this. You know, when you're a kid or at any time in your life, the vivid memories are the ones, something happened that really impacted you, and so you remember it very strongly, and this was one of those cases. I was six. We stepped on the bus, and I didn't know what to do. And I looked around, and I saw people getting up, moving to the back of the bus. And then my mother, I pulled my mother's dress. I said, "Mommy, are we..." N-word. She said, "Shut up, sit down." So we sat down in the front of the bus, and I looked around. This is how I found out I was not an African American, was from that experience. Now, there is hatred there. Hatred. Where did that come from? Did it come from abuse? No. Where did it come from?
Fear.
How about simply being taught by your parents, other people, to hate? That works, and that will bring about resentment. And it can be as strong, you know, as that comes about from abuse. I'm going to use the example of Cesar Millan in a few minutes, and that, and I like that because it really illustrates some points about it. Okay, resentment can come about from a lot of sources, including being taught to resent and hate. Now I'm going to back up a second, because there are a number of profound, I think, concepts in recovery that we deal with when we get into resentments. Is there anything good about resentment? Pardon? Okay. Can you expand on that, Shirley? Okay. All right. Yes. Okay. That's true, isn't it, Shirley? It motivates you to do your work when it's there. Oh, it's, yes. Adrenaline rush. Okay, that can be, you know, you can make a case for that. What were you going to say?
I didn't have boundaries, so keep me away.
It helps you to develop boundaries.
Yes.
All right, and this is a major step in recovery, developing boundaries. And your resentment helps you to, because it reminds you all the time about this person and what you don't want to have to go through again. So you work on that in recovery. I guess what I'm getting at is maybe nature has an upside for these feelings of hate, that it can help us when we're at the early stages of dealing with something. But then, later on, if we're still in it, if we have developed the boundaries and we're safe now, can the resentment still be there? I can attest that it can. It was there for me with my mother for years after I was free of her, living on my own and away, and not needing to harbor that resentment any longer. It was still there for me. There can be an upside to it at a certain stage, but then when we develop boundaries and work through it, we need to get rid of it then. Now we need to maintain our boundaries, to continue to maintain our boundaries. Okay. Shall I get to, I think I'll get to this point about rock bottom. Rock bottom. Have you had a rock bottom in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm hearing yes. Are there any no's to that in here? We're all codependent. We've had rock bottom. I've had several bottoms, but I had a rock bottom, and I'll tell you about mine. And you might say, "Oh, Charles, that wasn't so bad. You didn't want to kill yourself." What I tried to do was disappear myself by moving away. I was working for the Atomic Bomb Factory in the United States. My codependency is addiction to approval. I look to others for what to think, how to feel, what to believe, how to behave, all of those things. This is my version of codependency. I know a lot of you will relate to that. Some of you won't. Will relate to other versions of codependency. Working for Atomic Bomb Factory. Well, growing up, I learned to seek approval and look for value systems I could adapt for myself from other segments of society, starting with my parents, then teachers, then later academicians, bosses, companies, executives, segments of society, the scientific community. For me, I adopted their value system. Didn't turn out well for me, by the way, adopting theirs, even though it wasn't an evil thing. Nuclear industry, working at the Atomic Bomb Factory, tried to adopt theirs. What do you do when you're attacked by the medical community, the anti-war community, the environmentalists, and others? And you want to adopt their values too. I mean, this is how screwed up it is trying to satisfy everybody. And I got to the point where I was trying to come up with a value system, that would satisfy everybody. And guess what? You can't do it. I couldn't even satisfy one segment of society. Now, when they called a press conference, and I was going to be the star attraction, and with the environmental issues, the health issues of radioactive materials, all of these things that I was supposed to testify about, I became insane. I could no longer deal with it. I made a plan. I got a new identity. It's not hard. It wasn't hard to do then. Find somebody that was born around the same time as you that's now dead. Oh, there's an identity you can take on. I did that. All I needed was then some money and a bus ticket to Argentina or Sao Paulo, Brazil. Now, I was married. I had the job and career, the whole thing. I was going to get on the bus and go south, and they would never see me again. Leave behind the marriage, the house, the dog, the job, the career, and my family of origin, and everybody I knew. Start a new life. Wouldn't that be a good solution? I had a professor that actually did that. The difference is, at the time he did it, he was a Jew in Germany in 1933, and his family and friends were being taken off to concentration camps and killed. He had a good reason to do it. He disappeared himself into England and formed a new identity for himself. And I admire him for that. In my case, it was to escape codependency. Okay, so that's my rock bottom. Now, just a quick, my opportunity to do it came the week before the press conference. My wife and I are in a little town, in a little restaurant in Mexico, and I looked at her and looked at her, and somehow, because this is a profound moment, isn't it? You know, you're thinking, you're contemplating leaving everything behind. By the way, this wasn't suicide. This was going to be a start over, but lose everything you had. I'm sorry. I looked at her. I saw how she had put her life into us being together and forming a life. And I couldn't do it. So I made a decision to go back to Denver and face the music. Now, I want to suggest in your rock bottom that you made a decision. I want you to think about that for a second. One of your big rock bottoms or your biggest rock bottom. You made a decision for the good. Do you know how I know that? You're here. So think about the nature of that decision. Maybe for some of you it was, this drug or this whatever, this substance is killing me, I've got to go a different direction. But this had to be a firm decision at some point. For others of you, it was, I've got to get out of the situation. So I'm leaving the situation. For others of you, it was, okay, I'm not going to pull this trigger. Actually, drugs and alcohol is one of those triggers, you know, one of those ways of going out. You know, go out by way of drugs or alcohol. You made a decision not to do that. Now, was that an important decision? Have you ever thought about that? Okay, some of you have, or on top of that, I'm going to suggest to others of you, yeah, you did it. You hadn't thought about how important that was. Was that in order of importance of decisions you made in your life, where does that rank?
Top.
Way up at the top. Have you ever given yourself credit for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Some of you have done it. I'm going to suggest others of you need to pat yourself on the back. And I'm thanking you myself because you're helping me with my program by being here. And I'm going to dare say if you would not have made that decision, you might not be here. Where would you be?
Dead.
Okay, dead. Dead's not good.
This is much better.
I would have been, and possibly some, I don't think, it would have not turned out well for me. But first of all, my first choice was Sao Paulo, Brazil. They speak Brazil, Portuguese, not Spanish there. That's a big screw up to begin with. You see how poor a decision that could have been. But I made a good decision, and you did too, each one of you. And I want to congratulate you on that, and I want you to pat yourself on the back for that. So that was one of the notes that I, there you go, that I wanted to make in this. Now I want to go to the handout. Which is more natural, love or hate? Okay, I'm working up to puppy dogs. And I admire Cesar Millan a great deal. Do you know him? He is known as the dog whisperer. I love this man. He is the codependency program for dogs. Now, I'm quite serious, and that is a metaphor for what we do in our program, what he does with the dogs. Pardon? What he does with people. Oh, what does he say now? He says, I rehabilitate the dogs, I train the people. He must train the people. Why?
Because problem dogs are as a result of people.
Okay.
Dogs are not a problem naturally.
Okay. The problem dogs are a result of people. Now, if a dog comes in and he rehabilitates it and then just ships it back out somewhere, what's going to happen? They're going to revert to their same. They're just like people, aren't they? Now, what I'm here to tell you is that your caregiver that we talked about earlier damaged you permanently. This damage is not going to go away completely. And so you're here. You're in a program. Okay? Cesar Millan is a program. His pack is a program for dogs. But some of those dogs are going to go back to their owners. This is why it's extremely important that he trains the owners to be him so they don't revert. Now, what this is pointing out is the importance of programming. permanently. And the damage that was inflicted to us by abuse in our childhood is permanent. We need to continue working on it. We need to not give that up. Dogs that kill other dogs. We're into the realm of the bus driver here. Most dogs will not, of DNA or nature, run out and kill other dogs. They'll do it in self-defense. But most dogs are not inclined to just kill other dogs. How is it that dogs kill other dogs? They are trained to do that. And that, and just like the bus driver, was trained to hate. And, by the way, do the dogs hate the other dogs that they're killing?
No.
They're afraid of them.
Okay, there's fear. Now, we said earlier, hate is involved with fear. Okay, dogs, in the training, they're taught when they see or sense such and such, attack and kill. So when they see such and such, what goes on inside them? It's an automatic reflex. Is it not anger and I'm going to get you? Okay, maybe we can disagree on this, I think. I think there's a form of hate that dogs can be taught so that forevermore, when they sense such and such, they're going to get into that mode, kill. Okay, and I do liken that to hate. Okay, let me see. Where are you? Let me go back to Cesar Millan. And it gets, in a way, at the nature of how our program helps us. It helps us overcome resentment. It helps us develop boundaries. It helps us in all that. What is the key to 12-step? That, by the way, I did not have when I was working for the atomic bomb factory.
Higher power.
Higher power. I claim today, had I had a relationship with higher power, by the way, I was raised Catholic all the way through bachelor's degree, Catholic schools. And by the way, my education was second to none. When I got to graduate school, I was a straight A student. I had no idea I was so good because I was caught up in school. I learned it from my Catholic education. I got a great education and I appreciate that from the Catholics, and I tell them that when I see them. And by the way, I have done amends with the Catholic Church. I had resentment there for years. Guilt. The whole guilt thing. And I did my amends. By the way, I'm going to talk later about the difference between amends and forgiveness, because there's a difference. But if you do amends properly, you achieve forgiveness. And I did that with the Catholic Church. It was Benedict XVI. Pope Francis, because I like him a lot better. But anyway, it worked for me. And I can tell you how to do that if you're interested in, you know, how you contact the Pope. In our program, we develop a relationship with a higher power. We seek knowledge from our higher power. The power to carry out what we need to do, which we find out from our higher power. And my recovery involved that long before I got into 12-step, because CODA didn't exist for me until 1991, but I was into this before. And it was through higher power. Now, Cesar Millan with the dogs, this is the same thing. Higher power. Cesar is the higher power for the dogs. And that works. And then he turns that over to the owners when he sends the dog back to the owners. And he trains them to be the higher power. And if they don't do that, their dogs are going back to the, you know, to the same set of behaviors. So it's turning our will and our lives over to the care of God that saves us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me past still waters. He restores my soul. I'm not a Christian, but I love that prayer. God reprograms me to remove my shortcomings. I have to become entirely ready, then ask God to remove my shortcomings. Okay. Now, here's a couple of notes that are very important. We're going to talk about forgiveness of people that have abused us. Forgiveness of people that we hate for really whatever reason. Primarily that people did something to us. Okay. Suppose we're still in the relationship. Suppose we're still being abused. Okay, the people that spoke up earlier and talked about forgiving, getting past their resentments. Were you still being abused when you did that? No.
No. I have learned to set boundaries and not allow the abuse to continue.
Okay. Now this is the key. We must have our boundaries established. We must be free of this abuser. And if you're not, then don't make that person a candidate for forgiveness. I mean, just, there's no point. You have job one. And I want to tell you another experience of mine along that line. I mean, this is a profound concept. Before you forgive somebody, you become free of the abuse. In my second marriage, I was being abused. A guy, actually physically abused for a period of time, then she stopped that. She was trying to recover, and I was recovering. I was in an active recovery program. And so I continued, and in my program, I had learned. Ask God for guidance, and listen to what God says, and follow that, whatever God says. You know, God says, move to Pueblo. Yes, sir. Actually, after about the third time, because I was living in Denver, and, you know, it was a fun place to live. I sought, through my higher power, knowledge of what to do at every step along the way. And at some point, this happened. This was when, at a time when she was, every day she was calling me an SOB and a no good this and that, worthless, blank, 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 every day. At that point, through my program, I had learned to not pay attention to that language, that it was not meaningful, in other words, not true. And I will liken that to Muhammad Ali. Now, I have a Muhammad Ali connection here. I float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. There ain't nobody gonna get on top of me. And I was working that program. You know, a program of defense. And then one day, I asked God for, you know, what's the next step? That night I had a dream. I was Muhammad Ali. I was in the boxing ring. I was floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee. And a voice came down that said, get out of this ring! And the reason is, you are being damaged and permanently. The next week, I got an apartment. rented a U-Haul, got my friends together, went to the lawyer, and started divorce proceedings. A year and a half later, through the shenanigans in court, the divorce was final. But this was God's way, because I asked, you know, for guidance, God's way of telling me, get out of this ring. You will be damaged permanently. I'm here to tell you, if you're in that relationship, ask God what to do. And if God tells you get out of the ring, get out of the ring. I got out of the ring. Again, developing boundaries, if that works to where you're really free, fine. Didn't work for me. I could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Now, the poignancy of the metaphor of Muhammad Ali is this. He was still in the ring at the time. Did he get out of the ring? No. He stayed in the ring. What happened? Brain damage. They call it Parkinson's. He paid the price for staying in the ring. Now, this really brings home to me the importance of getting guidance from God and listening to it and going with it. And even if you don't want to. Now, I didn't mind at that point because I was living in hell anyway. Oh, I have stories I could tell you. I won't go into it. We must maintain our boundaries. All right. If we're actively being abused, we must deal with that first, recover first, then forgive. Okay, I'll in a minute talk about the difference between forgiveness and amends. We're going to talk about prayer and meditation. I've had a lot of experience with meditation. Okay, talk about that. Then I have a forgiveness procedure that involves a guided meditation. Talk about that. We will do the guided meditation. I have a forgiveness prayer. We're going to review that because I don't want you to say any prayer that you don't approve of, so to speak. In other words, if you have problems with this prayer, then don't do it or modify it right on, you know, make modifications to the prayer if you need to. All right, then we will come back and share. Okay, so this part is the, all right, up to now we're into the, what is resentment, the philosophy and principles part. Page 2 and 3, we're going to get into more, we go through this and do it. I hope it works for you. But especially if the person is gone, if you're removed from a person that you need to forgive, that you still resent, then meditation, prayer meditation is the way to do it. How would you do it? Okay, difference between forgiveness and amends. I mentioned I did amends with my mother, simultaneously forgave her. With forgiveness, I can spell out what that person did. Okay, because forgiveness between me and God, for the most part, it can be between me and the other person. But it doesn't need to be. It can be just me and God. Forgiveness. All right, and I'm trying to change myself with this. Forgiveness is something for me. Amends. Have you worked amends with a sponsor? The first few times you did you write in there, yeah, when you screwed me, that's when I reacted by blah, 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 and I'm sorry for that. Did you write it that way, your first few times? I did. That's no good for amends. Now, you can do that, how you got screwed, between you and God. Clarify things. The other person's not there to hear it. You're not trying, and with amends, you're trying to relate with another person or their spirit. So you don't go into what they did. You go into what you did that you're apologizing for and you're going to make amends for. I did that with my mother. Now, in my case, and I've seen different takes on this. In the Coda workbook, they have a different take on this than I do. The Coda workbook says, you don't have to promise you're never going to do it ever again, what you did. Because you can't make promises like that, you know. And there is a rationale to that. I believe, for me, I need to promise I am never going to do this again. With my mother, I blamed her. I resented her. It impacted my relationship with her, my relationship with my family, her relationship with the rest of my family. And so it had all that negative impact. And I needed to change that. So I apologize for that. And I promised her, by the way, she was a good woman. God, I heard this earlier. You love them and hate them at the same time. She was a good woman. I promised her I was never going to do that again. And I didn't. And it changed my life. And I didn't wake up every day with the thought of the bitch. All of that stuff. And my relationship with her changed, and my family changed, with everybody. But all relationships changed. When I did amends with my mother, she was alive. She took it very well. I wrote it out in a letter, and I talked to her in person with it. I made no accusations. That's not what you do with amends. With forgiveness, between you and God, you can talk about what they did. There's a big difference between amends and forgiveness. The effect of my amends with my mother was I forgave her. Think about it. I'm giving up the resentment, the hatred, the bad feelings, the blame. Giving it all up. Is that not forgiveness? Is that not the same as saying, I'm letting it go? So there's an effect. Yes, Bill.
Would it be, I guess I'm trying to interpret what you're saying, would it be fair to say that forgiveness is primarily about what has been done to us and amends is primarily about what we have done to others?
Yes. You know, AA has a program that, I've never seen this resentment workshop in Coda, ever. I've been to so many conferences. AA does it. And my sponsor's AA, so I worked the steps in AA, even though I'm not alcoholic. I tried, by the way. I couldn't drink enough, you know. But they focus a lot on resentments. Okay, and that's a good, and Coda doesn't. Okay, so your point, Bill, again, is
that it struck me what you were saying, that forgiveness is primarily about what has happened to us,
yes,
done to us, and amends is primarily about what we have done to others.
Right. Alcoholics have hurt other people. Yes.
I have a question. A
question.
I have a good point. So are we obliged to forgive the abuser when they don't want our forgiveness?
Okay. This is a good question. Let's go right to it. Are we obliged to forgive the abuser when they don't want our forgiveness? Answer. Yes, sir. Yes. Very good. We're doing this for ourselves. This is going to free us from waking up every day and going through that whole hate routine when they come to mind. Yes.
I recently heard a phrase I liked about forgiveness. It was, forgiveness is giving up all hope for a better past.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Forgiveness is giving up all hope for a better past. That's very good. Thank you. Pasha. Thank you, Pasha. What is prayer and meditation? Is there a difference between prayer and meditation? Somebody tell me, because I know you guys know a lot of, you know these things already. We're putting it together in a context. Yes. Very good. I like that. She said, prayer is talking to my higher power. Meditation is listening. The last thing my first wife did before she left me, by the way, I told you I was going to disappear myself and give up all that stuff. Well, I still didn't have a higher power. I still didn't have a program. I still was insane. So I lost my marriage, my home, my dog, my job, my career, and I was excommunicated from my family of origin for 7.5 years. I lost it all anyway, even without moving to South America. Isn't that good? The last thing my wife did for me, though, she said, Charles, I know you're not into religion, but I have to ask you this anyway, because I'm doing a program of meditation called Jose Silva Ultra Mind. And I said, well, is it religion? She said, no, it's spiritual, but not religious. Boy, have we heard that, a lot of that in the last 25 years. And this was 30-something years ago. I got into it. Blew my mind. I was finally in touch with the other side of reality. And I started, and I learned to distinguish between good spirits and bad spirits. And started following the advice I was getting from the other side. And noticing, oh, my life's getting better. Oh my God, it's the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. I started having dreams telling me I'm a teacher. I didn't respect teaching. I respected research. That's kind of a scientific community principle. I bought it. You know, research is the important thing. Have your name associated with a theorem. In fact, I won't go into it. I didn't respect teaching. I had all these dreams telling me you're becoming a teacher, you're going to do this and that and the other and teach. This person I told you about that disappeared himself into England, he's one of the top 5 statisticians on the planet. When I encountered him as director in my graduate school, I had a dream from him that he died and left me a book, a stats book, to take to the world. And I thought, dang, Professor Hartley, you're such a big researcher. You want me to become a teacher? A few weeks after the dream, one of my friends from graduate school came through Denver, called me up, we talked. He said, Charles, I know something you don't know. Professor Hartley is dead. I said, no, when did he die? Told me. I went to the American Statistician, read the obituaries and all that, the articles about him. The night he died was the night I had the dream. That's a strong message from God. And I took it. I said, okay, I'm a teacher. I started teaching here and there. Eventually got laid off, and department head was so sorry he got me my next job. I didn't have to do it. CSU Pueblo, 1986 till 2013. I had a career that I never could have done for myself at all. And it was simply following my higher power every step of the way. Okay, so that's prayer meditation. Meditation is listen. Now, I learned sophisticated techniques for listening, and we won't get into them. But you can listen. Everybody can listen. You pray, and then you ask God, what should I do? Oh my God, what should I do? And I was asking those prayers, and I was getting dreams. So dreams is a way you can get answers. But also, daily life, you get answers. Or your readings, whatever. You know when you're getting an answer, don't you? And if you ask God for help, He will answer you. I guarantee it. And maybe it's a different form of listening for everybody. Meditation can be a good way. All right, but it can also be other ways. So we talked about the difference between prayer and meditation. What is guided meditation? Guided meditation is meditation where one person is directing, but not controlling. And I want to tell you right now, you are in charge of your meditation, not me. Meditation can be used by some souls to control people by hypnosis. Now, you know, a lot of people say, I can't be hypnotized, and if so, that's good. Some people maybe see themselves as free of that, and then it's not a problem. Other people, though, can be hypnotized. I don't want to be in charge of your meditation. So I'm going to tell you right now, you are in charge of your own meditation, and I will repeat this as we go into it. What I learned from Silva is in meditation, you take your mind down, take the alpha level of your mind down to the level where you're sleeping. But you're still awake. Okay, and that's where the good stuff happened, where spirits, you know, I say let the spirits show up. People say, oh my God, I try to meditate and my daughter comes in and starts saying this and that. And so that's a distraction. Try to get rid of her. She won't go away. You know what I say to that? Oh, God sent your daughter to tell you something. Listen to her. Listen. Don't see distractions in meditation as bad things that you're going to get rid of. Listen to them. Maybe God has something more important for you to listen to temporarily before you get to your question. Okay, so this meditation is not hypnosis. It can be viewed as self-hypnosis. And I think the Sylvans view it that way. It's simply that they look at it scientifically. You're taking your mind down to the alpha level and operating in that level consciously. And you're doing it. And that's a form of self-hypnosis. And I say self-hypnosis is not hypnosis from me, where I'm in charge. You are in charge of your own meditation. Okay, so making that clear, and I'm going to say that over again later. Being certain of intention to forgive. Let's look ahead. Oh, you need to be certain of your intention. Again, first of all, this person's not currently abusing you. And you intend to forgive this person. You must really intend to do it. The forgiveness prayer from Charles. I've seen different prayers and I didn't like them for one reason or another, and so I wrote one. Okay, so read it. He's talking. I say it in terms of higher power, not God. Some people have issues with the word God. Okay, I respect that. I don't want to justify my own wrongdoings. But I feel hurt. This person hurt me. Because, and then the rationale. Now, this is between you and God. And you can tell God this person's name and what they did. I mean, this clarifies the whole issue for you right there in your meditation. I've not been able to give up the grudge I feel. Grudge might be a very weak word for what you feel for some people. Okay, but I use the word grudge in here. I confess this to you in a loving spirit. I forgive this person to the best of my ability for the wrong I perceive they have committed toward me. Now, you might say, it ain't no perception, they did it. You can say it that way if you want. My intention for the future is no longer blame them. This is just like what I did with my amends with my mother and the Catholic Church and others. Because I resented them, I blamed them. I sincerely promise to not carry this grudge in the future. Okay. Oh. Notice the last sentence. I got this from AA. Again, I'm not an alcoholic. But it's a great program. Please grant to this person the good thing I want for myself. What I want you to do is think of a good thing that you want for yourself. New house, new car, something that you really would like to have. It could be a thing, it could be not a thing, but a situation, a new job, whatever. And I want you to ask God to give that good thing to this person that you hate, or you have hated up to now. If you can do that, that really shows you the sincerity of your intention of letting this go. How about worst case scenario? This person murdered your child. You see these on television all the time, the parents. You know, they interview them in court, after court, whatever. And half of them will say, the SOB's got to go to the chair, blah, 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 blah. Kill him. The other half will say, I forgive this person. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Which is better?
Forgiving.
A forgiving. Because those people are going home clean and not racked with the hatred and robbing all their energy and everything. They go home free! That's the power of forgiveness. Okay, so this is the prayer we're going to do. In the guided meditation, we're going to come down to the alpha level, clarify the resentment, and I'm going to go through these 4 points. When you're in your alpha level, and I'm going to remind you, this is your meditation, not mine. Okay. How are we doing on time? We have 25 minutes left?
Yep.
Okay, good. Okay. Now, jot down, think of 2 people or groups you harbor resentment toward. You can forgive groups. I forgave the Catholic Church. It worked. I'm here to tell you, I have a completely different attitude towards the church and all churches today as a result of doing that. Why do you resent them? This is for you now. This is your resentment for today. If this is a caregiver you've never before forgiven, this is a very powerful thing. I'm going to dare say, when you can get to the point where you can forgive a caregiver that abused you, for me, it changed my life. Jot down a good thing you want for yourself, something you need for yourself that, you know, you really like to have that you don't have right now. Don't shade that by the fact that you're going to give it, you're going to want it to go to this other person. Even though that's what you're going to do with it. I want you to think of something you really would like to have. And then choose the person you want to forgive. And now again, you can write. I kind of made this so you can, the whole handout, you can write on it, or not, you know, different kinds of people. Now the way I learned meditation from Silva, and this guy will go way, way, way back, and I still use it today. I count backwards from 10 to 1. A couple little prayers in between the numbers. And when I get to 0, then we're at the alpha level. Okay, the alpha brainwave level. Then I'm going to ask you to clarify the resentment and the person involved in your mind. And have no influence from me on this. If you don't feel right about doing it with this person, don't do it. Visualizing them, etc. Now, many people have experience with meditation, and if you do, then you may have your own methods and mantras and whatnot, and so use them in the course of this also, if you do. And then I will read the prayer slowly, reminding you, this is for you, this is not me. Any questions? I'm hoping you take this home, this method. Meditation is lifetime. Yes?
I have a question because I had the, probably the same issue with my mother, and to this day I struggle to forgive her, even though she's been dead since 2008.
Okay.
But what's happening to me is that my son doesn't like me. And I was just wondering, while I'm sitting here listening to this, if maybe he has the same feeling that I had towards my mom, and it's just perpetuating.
Okay. Your son. It's possible. That's a possibility. You won't deal with that here, with this. You may acquire a freedom to where you can go back, and when you deal with your son, the relationship will be better. Again, I found with my mother that my relationships with everybody improved. Okay? And in particular, your relationship with family members. Okay, no promises. Okay, don't bring that up in the forgiveness of your mother. It does not involve your son, your forgiveness of your mother. Actually, you may be blaming her for that. And if that's the case, then it's indirectly involved. And you're going to be giving up all the blame, including that. And accept the fact that your son may harbor something from now on. This is Dr. Phil talking here. I've heard him say this. You have to be prepared that that's not going to get fixed. And it's going to be okay because you are going to do the right thing for you and your son. That's the whole bottom line. Okay, other questions? Yes?
In some of these cases, forgiveness is possible, but reconciliation is impossible.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going for reconciliation here. Mm-hmm. We can hope for it. I reconciled with my mother. But I wasn't counting on it. And I shouldn't count on it. And you should not count on it. Again, just like her situation, that's one of those things, Dr. Phil, you may have to accept that for the rest of your life. And that has to be okay with you. You're going to work on yourself. And you're going to be okay with it. Okay. Other questions? Yes?
No, I was just going to say, you know, with emotional, physical, spiritual, you know, and mental anguish, abuse, you know, from my parents. And my parents are great parents. I was a knucklehead, though, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I found, although I found that I did not understand any concept of forgiveness until I could forgive myself, and it had to do with me and my higher power. And once I was able to really work that first step of what acceptance truly is, then I was able to forgive my parents.
Okay.
Because I understood the concept.
Okay. You know, Clifton, I'm really glad what he's talking about is forgiving yourself and the importance of that. Yourself is on your list in your step four, is it not? And yourself is another one you need to forgive. And you might do that today. All right? And Clifton is saying he found that so important he needed to do that before he could seriously address others. Okay, and I'm going to say, more power, Clifton. That is a really good point, and I'm so glad you brought that up. Thank you. Okay, other questions or comments? Over here.
Do you have another hand up?
Oh, yeah, John, do you have some hand? Are we out? Okay, I have some more up here. Afterwards, okay. You need one too, okay. I think I have a few more in there, so I'll do some more handouts later. All right, other questions or comments? Let us proceed to the guided meditation. All right, get into a comfortable position. For meditation, as you perceive it. All right, I'm going to count backwards from 10 to 1. Your mind is going to slow down.
You are in control. 10, 9, 8. Every day, in every way, we are getting better, better, and better. 7, 6, 5. We're going down to these levels to be with our higher power. This will help us become our true selves and help mankind. 4, 3, 2. My higher power loves me. 1, 0. Now clarify the person you want to forgive, the resentment that you feel toward them. You're in charge. I'm not in charge here. Remember, you're not justifying your actions. You are communicating this to your higher power through this meditation. Verbalize any mantras or methods that you have for your own meditation. And remember, this is your meditation. You are in control. I'll now read the forgiveness prayer. Higher power, I have a resentment issue to bring to you. I need to forgive and name this person. Between you and me, I don't want to justify my own wrongdoings, but I feel hurt by, name this person, because, tell why you're hurt, give the rationale. I have not, up to now, been able to give up the grudge I feel. I confess this to you in a loving spirit. I forgive, name this person, now, to the best of my ability, for the wrong I perceive they have committed toward me. My intention for the future is to no longer blame and name the person for this perceived wrongdoing. I sincerely promise, with your help and to the best of my ability, to not carry this grudge into the future. Please accept my statement of forgiveness and free me from this resentment. In addition, please grant to and name the person the good thing I want for myself. Thank you. Amen. Okay, and if you're blissed out, that's an expression we used to use where you feel so good being in the alpha level, you don't want to come away from it. I understand. We're going to need to come back to conscious level. And share. Really, I put sharing here. I would like you to share anything you feel like sharing. At this point. Okay. Thank you. What she said was, what came up was some resentment she had for putting her dog down. And again, meet Dr. Phil for a second. Actually, this is, I guess, Charles from Silver. This came up for you. This is, God wanted you to think about this. I mean, I have to conclude that. For whatever reason, I don't know. But maybe you can figure that out. Okay, others.
It's kind of silly, but it is a great reminder that I don't have to do this alone.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
A great reminder that she does not have to do this alone. You're with somebody in that meditation. Who is it? Your higher power. Call him or her God, if you want. I do now. It took me years to come back to that, to using the G word. And yes, the more meditation I did, the more I felt I'm not alone. Let me put that to you another way. Today, I bombed out of an atomic bomb factory. I left the job. I was broken and insane. Today, I could do that job. Because every day, I would say, God, tell me what to do. And God will give me direction. And I don't have to worry what anybody thinks. We'll do that every day. I'm not alone. And that's what she's saying. We're not alone. Yes. Boy, that's a good question.
No, I have to.
What is she going to say? Is it Danielle?
Yeah.
Because in the past, with her ex, you know, when I asked about her ex, all this negativity. And now she's not going to be able to do that anymore. Oh. Okay. Somebody answer, what can she do in the future for me? Yes. I'm sorry.
I had kind of the same thing. I carried a lot of resentment around with my ex for a long time, and that's where I kind of start my story of, you know, he was an abusive asshole. And today, it takes two. And it was a volatile relationship, and gratefully I'm out of it, and I just kind of leave it at that. You know, it took me a long time, but I was able to forgive him and make peace with that.
She forgave him and made peace, and took a while, but came. Okay, let me come to him, because he is.
I was just saying, just when it comes up to say, well, I forgave him, and that's the end of it.
Okay.
But no explanation, nothing.
Somebody asks you, tell him you forgave him. Hey, that's a good answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was just going to say that part of the whole working the steps and working the fourth step and doing this kind of work is realizing my part.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, going through the fourth step and then making the amends, coming across that fence and saying, oh, well, I had a part in it too.
Okay.
I was forgiving my abuser from my childhood. I, you know, for the longest time couldn't see what my part was in that, but my part was holding on to that resentment.
Okay.
Letting it rule me.
Boy, I so relate with that completely. Her part was holding on to the resentment. Can you say that to another person? What would they do? Would they hit you? You can tell them. Well, I guess in a way you out yourself if you say, well, I had this terrible resentment and I got rid of it. Is that outing yourself? You know, as a big codependent 12-stepper or something? Yes, sir.
It sounds a little like revisiting the whole situation unnecessarily to me. I think if somebody asked me what they have asked her, I would probably just say I was in a marriage and it didn't work and I'm not in it anymore.
Okay. That's simple and true. Yes. Bill.
I have found that in my case, the reaction I get from people who are aware of the situation, is really uplifting in that they're inspired or they really like the fact that they know I could let go of my resentment.
What he's saying is, people that he shared this with, that he let go of the resentment, he went through a process and let go of it. The people that he told that to appreciate that, and they maybe, I'll use the word admire him even more. You know, you're entering the realm of enlightened individual now. And other people will see it. Yes.
Ultimately, that's carrying the message.
That's carrying the message. That is carrying the message. We're talking about step 12. We're doing step 12. Let's do some step 12. Yes.
And if it wasn't for him, I would not know what codependency is. He started my recovery, my ex.
Okay. Her ex was a benefit to her.
How could she have recovered without that bastard? Excuse me for putting it that way. I put it that way. You don't put it that way anymore. You don't see him that way anymore. And I can say the same thing. I mean, God sent my mother down and, you know, she had, and the whole thing was a big damn plan. That's what I figured out. And it was for me to work through it. And that's what I'm, you know, this was my path. This is why God put me here. Okay, thanks, John. My response is going to be, tonight when you go home, pray and ask God, you know, God, what's your take on it? And see what response you get. Yes?
I look at it as she did the best she could with what she had. And everything that I've gone through and learned, there's a reason.
Okay.
I still don't know what that is today. And then I know it says in the, you know, my ex is still out there. And I don't know if they'll ever be able to fully recover. And I think about what it says in Alcoholics Anonymous, where it says if we can recover, if we, you know, and I'm not quoting it correctly, but fearlessly and honestly follow the steps and work together.
Yeah. Okay. This is a voice of a free person, isn't it? She has forgiven him. And now she's talking like a free woman. And we have to adjourn because we've run out of time. It crept up on me. Okay, I have a closing prayer. By the way, this closing prayer is a step 3 prayer from AA. I love this prayer, but I've had people tell me they don't like it. If you don't like it, don't say it. I love this prayer. And so I would like us to stand and say this prayer. And those of you that don't have a copy, if you can look on with somebody else. And we can hold hands if you like we normally do in meetings. It's a step 3 prayer to be used for closing. God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those that I would help. Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. Amen. Thank you, and I will get some handouts for you. Thank you.